Blog Talk Radio.
Thankful and blessed to be with you today. I know we are a little bit early, but this grandma's got to take her babies to school. So I have got to be here early to get up, to get out, and to get my babies to school on time. So I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed that for those that got up early in the morning with me to listen in. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and I ask God to watch over you. And I just want to so much, let's get into our prayer, and let's get moving this morning. We have some word, and it is, what, say it with me, it is a good word. It is a good word on this third day of November. I'm trying to take us back. I'm trying to go backwards. But it is November the 3rd. And just as a church announcement, this weekend, clocks do go, let's see, fall back, spring forward. So they will be falling back starting this Sunday. So don't forget to change your clocks, your cell phones, and all those things to do them themselves, but everything else will not. So please make sure that you change your clock this Sunday. So let's get into our word. Father God in heaven, we are so grateful, thankful, and blessed to first and foremost have another day, God. I ask you, Lord, to give us clarity of mind, soul, and spirit, that we will absorb everything in your word, that your word will become a living, breathing thing in our hearts, minds, and spirit. Lord God, I ask for a clean heart and a right spirit within me. If I have done anything, said anything to anyone, Lord, I ask forgiveness before we go forward, God. And Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. This morning, our title is coming out of Titus chapter 3, and all I can say is, right on point this morning, is so today. It's like Titus stepped out of time and said, let me write this. So speak evil of no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility. It's our word, but there's more to it when we talk about this. So let's get started in Lamentations So hand clap, new book this morning. We are starting in a new book. We just finished Jeremiah, and now we are in Lamentations. You know, when our kids learned the books of the Bible, we did it with a song. And when you would get to Lamentations, they would go, Lamentations, and you'd go, Ezekiel and Daniel. So I can't wait to get to Ezekiel and Daniel. But right now we're in Lamentations. And the author of Lamentations is traditionally attributed to Jeremiah. And it was probably written about 586 B.C. 10 words or less. A despairing poem about the destruction of Jerusalem. Detailed plea. After warning the southern Jewish nation to obey God, the prophet Jeremiah witnessed the punishment he threatened Judah's enemies prosper. He threatened Judah's enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of the transgression of her transgressions, writes Jeremiah. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. The sight brings tears to Jeremiah's eyes. My eyes run down with water. Remember, he's called the weeping prophet, which provides the nickname, the weeping prophet. Lamentations ends with a plaintive cry. Thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very worth against us. Thou art very wroth against us. And a quotable from Lamentations. Turn thou unto us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. 5:21. Though Lamentations doesn't indicate its author, Jeremiah is described in 2 Chronicles as the composer of Laments 35 and 25. And the question becomes, so what? God's punishment might seem severe, but as the book of Hebrews says, no chastening for the present thing to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterwards, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them, which are exercised thereby. Lamentations to lament is to mourn, is to cry out. And we're going to go to the dictionary and see what it says about patience. And it says to lament. To feel or express sorrow or regret, to mourn for or over, show or express grief, sorrow or regret, to mourn deeply, an expression of grief or sorrow, a formal expression of sorrow or mourning, especially in verse or song, an elegy. Our judge. To feel, I express sorrow, remorse, or regret is the verb to express sorrow. A form song, which is a death, is lamented. It's just the moaning, you're sorry, you have regret, you're just crying. It's just one of those things that just takes you there, that say, it took me there. If you lament something, you express your sadness, regret, or disappointment about it. Someone's lament is an expression of their sadness instead of disappointment. About a lament is a form, song, piece of music which expresses sorrow that someone has died. Jeremiah is lamenting for his nation, which has gone into captivity, his nation, which he told him for 40 years to repent, to change, to be better, to follow after God and quit following after other gods, quit giving their children to Moloch, to stop, to change, to be better. 40 years of prophecy telling them what would happen if they did not change. He was put in prison. He was hit. Upon. Talked about lied on. Jeremiah went through some stuff. Nobody said a prophet's life would be easy. That's why I tell anybody, before you accept the gift of prophecy, understand it comes at a price. It's not easy. You see things that you don't want to see. You hear things you don't want to hear. You have to speak what that says. And sometimes what that says to the Lord is not easy. It's like Jeremiah had to talk about destruction and awful things happening. And it broke him. Jeremiah is one of them. Jeremiah chapter 1 and chapter 2, Lamentation. From the book of, I'm sorry, from Jeremiah, Lamentation 1 and 2. So the prophet speaks how lonely sits the city that was full of people. How long a widow is she? How like a widow is she? Who was great among the nations, the princes, among the provinces, has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks among all her lovers, among all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All things have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. Our persecutors overtake her in thy gate. The road to Zion mourns because no one comes to set feet. Our gates are desolate. Her priests die. Her burdens are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion, our splendor has departed. Her princes have become like this. Mine, no past. I read that again. All her splendor has departed. Her prince have become like deer that find no pasture, that flee without strength before the pursuers. In the days of her affliction and roaming, Jerusalem remembers all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy. With no one to help her, saw her and mocked at her downfall. Mocked at her downfall. Jerusalem has sinned gravely, therefore she has become vile. All who honor her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns away. Her uncleanliness is in her skirt. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, a collapse was offered. She had no confidence. O Lord, behold, my affliction, for the enemy is exalted. The adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things, for she has seen the nation in her sanctuary. Those whom you commanded not to enter your assembly. All people sigh, they seek bread. They have given their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see, there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which is being brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger. From above, he has sent fire into my bones and overpowered them. It and met on my feet and turned me back. He has made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgression was bound. They were woven together by my neck. Jeremiah is going through. We go through ourselves, but nothing like this. He's hurting for Israel. He's hurting for Judah. He's hurting for the people because he knows that he warned them. He knows that he begged them. He knows that he asked them. He cried out to them, and he cried, telling them, don't do these things. Don't fake like you want a word, and then do what you want to do anyway. He tried, and he said, and he's hurting. And he said, the Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men in my mind, in my midst. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. For these things I weep, my eyes overflow with water, because the comforter who should restore my life is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Zion spread out her hands, but no one comforts her. The Lord has commanded concerning Jacob that those around him become his adversaries. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his commandment. Hear now, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and my elders breathed their last in the city while they sought food to restore their life. See, O Lord, that I am in distress. My soul is troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious outside the Lord's reach. At home, it is like death. They have heard that I sigh, but no one comforts me. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that you have done it. Bring on the day you have announced, that they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you and do to them as you have done to me. For all my transgressions, my sighs and many, and my heart is faint. And as we go back over to Jeremiah chapter 1, life lesson from Dr. Stanley. And again, every day I tell you, I am coming out of the Charter Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And I would suggest that anybody who likes to read the Word and just want a daily meditation, as God's Word tells us to meditate on it day and night, and you want a daily meditation, this Bible is excellent for your biblical arsenal. So if you have opportunity, get it. It comes in many translations. I just happen to like the New King James. It's as close to King James as I get if I'm not in King James. So I like to read the New King James when we're on the blog. But I do am a King James reader as well. So when you hear me say life questions, what the Bible says, life answers, life lessons, those come from Dr. Stanley. So Dr. Stanley tells us to go to Lamentation. I don't know why I want to keep saying Jeremiah, because he just got out of Jeremiah on yesterday. Lamentations 1:8, Jerusalem has sinned gravely, therefore she has become vile. Sin does not make us cool, hip, fashionable, or trendy. It does not make us sophisticated, mature, or attractive. It only makes us that's sin. One more time. Sin does not make us cool, fashionable, or trendy. I remember back in my day, you know, young women would have cigarettes hanging out of their mouths, or, you know, make sure they had the fingernails painted red, and then they'd have the cigarette kind of hanging out of their mouth slightly. And then you'd see that the cigarette circles, they could make little O's come out, you know, and that was supposed to be real cool. I'm allergic to smoke, so needless to say, I was not with the cigarette crowd. But I tell you, it's not cool, you know, to see women intoxicated. It's not cool to see women smoking and intoxicated. You're vile to God. Let's go over to what the Bible says about various and knowing God's will. And we're going to actually come back to that after we read chapter 2. Because there's some things in chapter 2 that's in this chapter, in this what the Bible says. So we're going to read chapter 2 and then we'll come back to what the Bible says and what it's a minute now. It says, how the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion down from heaven to the earth, the beauty of Israel, and did not remember his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up and has not pitied all the dwelling places of Judah. He has thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and his princes. He has cut off in fierce anger every horn of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. He has blazed against Jacob like a flaming fire, devouring all around, standing like an enemy. He has bent his bow with his great hand like an adversary. He has slain all who were pleasing to his eyes on the tent of his daughters of Zion. He has poured out his fury like fire. The Lord has let like a swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He has swallowed her strongholds and has increased mourning and lamentations in the daughter of Judah. He has done violence to his tabernacle as if it were a garden. He has destroyed his place of assembly. The Lord has caused the appointed feast and Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion. He, in his burning indignation, he has burned the king and the priest. The Lord has burned his altar. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has given up the walls of her palace. into the hand of the enemy. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord, as on the day of a set feast. The Lord has proposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore, he has caused rampart and wall to lament. They language together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her prince are among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets find no vision from the Lord. A prophet without vision is not a prophet. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground and keep silent. They throw dust on their heads and gird themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem bow their heads to the ground. My eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. Because the children and the infants fight in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, where is grain and wine? As they swoon like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out in their mother's bosom. How shall I console you? To what shall I liken you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I compare with you that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is spread wide as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. Proper liars all up in the house. And Jeremiah was like, it lies. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They kiss and shake their hands at the daughter of Jerusalem. In this city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth, all your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They kiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day we have waited for. We have found it. We have seen it. The Lord has done what he proposed, which has fulfilled his word, which he commanded in days of long down and has not pitied. And he has caused an enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries. Your heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of the daughters of Zion. Let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. See, O Lord, and consider, to whom have you done this? Do the women eat their offspring? The children they have covered? Should the priests and prophets be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie, old on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered and not pitied. You have invited as to a feast day the heart terrors that surround me. In the day of the Lord's anger, there was no refuge, no refuge or survivor. No refugee or survivor. Those whom I have born and brought up, my enemies have destroyed. I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes. Wow. I can see while Jeremiah was crying. A desolate place, watered in the streets. It broke him. It would break any of us. But we have to be prepared, because in the last days, these things could happen to us because we have not repented. We have allowed lies to become truth and truth to become lies. We have lost our way. We have allowed politics to take over our lives that love God, have forgotten how to love. Church bodies have allowed the enemy to slide in. And he did it so lethally, went in. And now the pulpit has become a political place and not a place of God. Preaching politics instead of preaching salvation. And if we go back to our word again, it says what the Bible says about barriers to knowing God's will. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our prayer every day. I will be done. In Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah describes the desolation of Jerusalem after the Babylonians carried off the Jews. Yet we may wonder how the people of Judah got to this point, especially after all of Jeremiah's warnings to them. Jeremiah had told them exactly what was going to happen. We saw that in Jeremiah chapter 20. Of course, they ignored him because of their sinfulness. However, there are some things we should note to avoid their mistakes. Remember, God is always pleased to reveal his will to us, but at times we cannot or will not receive the message. Something in our life is creating a barrier to hearing them. Obstacles to the believer include self-will. Sometimes we decide that we're going to do without God, talk to him about our plan, even thinking it is so logical that the Lord must agree. But we have stopped listening to his will. Number two, a second obstacle to Christians is influence. It's wise to seek godly counsel, but believers must be careful whom they are allowed to influence them. Come on now. Many people will say what someone else wants to hear rather than what is actually needed. A third barrier is sin. There are two ways to hinder our ability to know God's will. First, our spirit is clouded, so we cannot determine his mind. Second, the Father may not reveal the next step in his plan because he's waiting for us to repent and become willing to obey. A fourth obstacle for believers is distraction. Now that right there, that's all me. Distraction. Get distracted, getting ready to do whatever I have to do. And the next thing I happen, that spirit of distraction just falls on. I start looking at this, doing that, going here, going there, doing what, oh, I need to pick this up. Oh, I need to put this away. Oh, I need to. And before long, distracted from doing what I need to do for God. Distraction is a sin. One of the most subtle obstructions to knowing God's will is business. They are, as I said, if they shoot it, say, ouch, ouch. Our hands and our minds are so full, we don't have the patience to wait and listen. Come on, Lord, speak to me. The Lord does not chase after us trying to force us to hear him. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. It's his simple solution for clearing the clutter of our overbooked lives. The next time you seem unable to determine the Lord's will, try slowing down so that you can focus on him. then consider whether you might have allowed one of these barriers to be constructed between you and God, as he would gladly help you to dismantle it. Be still and know I am God. I got to get that on a t-shirt, because I'm going to tell you, that's for me. This busy, this constant in movement. I realized on yesterday, as I was getting ready for bed, I had not done to just be still for less than maybe an hour and a half. But other than that, I was up and moving, going here, going there, doing this, doing that. And I thought, wow, so one, I'm tired. I'm up early and then going to bed late, and then up early and going to bed late. It's not normal. You got to go to bed. You got to get a good night's rest. 4 or 5 hours of sleep is not enough. And so I ask God, give me some rest sometimes. You know, let me just calm down. And God said, I already tried to do that. You the one running. So I'm trying to calm down. So don't allow the spirit of distraction to get into your heart, because it will take you down. Lamentations 2:14, your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity. We can trust God's word not only because it speaks to us of pleasant things, heaven and grace and love, but also because it uncovers and lays bare our sins so that we may turn from it and live. Lamentations 2:17, the Lord has done what he proposed. He has fulfilled his word which he commanded in days of old. Where we never have to wonder whether the Lord, we never have to wonder whether the Lord will keep his promises. We never have to question whether he will really fulfill his word in your case or mine. Whatever he said, he will do. Matthew 5:18. Whatever God says he will do it. Psalm 119:137-144. Again, 119:137-144. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your word. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 28:9-10. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Let's go back and read that again. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit. But the blessed, the blameless, will inherit good. So whatever somebody do, you don't worry about it. You know, you'll hear somebody say, I got you. God say, I got you. God is 100, and he keeps it 100. Because 99.5 won't do. Or as the word say, 99 won't do. God's going to find us, the lost one. Every time God will find you, the more you seek him, the more you find him. Titus chapter 3, remind them, Paul speaking, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is not working right now. We see it all the time. You know, and I had a moment, my own self, I had to say, you know, when Michelle Obama said, you go, we go high, when they go low, I said, all you got to do is just kick them in the teeth. And God convicted me on that. God, you don't kick nobody in the teeth when they're low. They're going to go low, and I deal with them. You just do what you're supposed to do. You go high. Stay in the Word. You do what I say do. And what does God say do? Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Whoever is in charge. We can't be saying, oh, well, it's illegitimate. They did this and they did that. And you have no proof. Well, you know, I heard pastor say such and such and such and such. You have no proof. The pastor is the authority that God has given over his church, over his body. And he wants us to be reminded to rules and authority to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And I'm speaking to the church. We can't look because somebody walks in that don't look like us, and we're looking at them like, oh, no, they didn't walk in here. Or they may not smell like you or dress like you. As you look them up and down, why they here? Why they there? You have to be kind. It says, but we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deserving, deceived. I'll read again. But we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works or righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus has poured out over us. He has washed us clean as snow. He has given his blood and his Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. And he says, this is a faithful thing, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid, come on now, all of us in the church body, all of us, because we have been saved, we have been redeemed, we have been made whole. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. But they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man. If someone has you all twisted around where you don't know right from wrong, left from right, up from down, quit lying. Every time you turn around, you catch it. Somebody in a lie, your pastor, the politician that you're supporting, always in some type of trouble, always got some vile stuff going on. What does it say? Reject a divisive man. Got you hating your mother. Got you disliking your sister. Reject them. rejected the advice of man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. When I see an optimist, you are tired, diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with us that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good work, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me, greet me, greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Paul ends all of his epistles with grace be with you all. Amen. As we were in Timothy, he ended that way. And now in Titus, he ended that way, sending the letters to his spiritual sons, because he wants them to be the best pastors and teachers and apostles they can be. And when we go back to our word for today, speak evil of no one. Be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And Dr. Stanley said, it's the way of the cross is the way of potent tenderness. Jesus had all power, yet he came to serve, not to be served. Paul says that in lowliness of mind, one should esteem others better than himself. Philippians 2:3. In Titus 3:8, those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Good works become bad only when we try to use them to earn the favor of God. In the proper place, however, as evidence of the salvation God provided us through grace, they remain crucial. Whatever is your calling, just do it. Do what you're called to do. I thought I was going to be retired, living a good life, as they say. I was living life like it's golden. But it's there. God humbled me. And I work as a care pro. I take care of seniors in their homes, and I love it. I love it. And I know that it was a calling. I know that the prophetess that gave me that word that said, God sent you, you need to go and apply for this position. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm an executive, but what you mean? God will humble you. When it's your calling, he will humble you. And I am so grateful to Prophetess Terry Manbay, who gave me the prophetic word and put me on my way. I'm grateful because it's my heart. When your senior waits for you to hold your hand to their transition, because they know you will be praying over them. And they know that you love them. There's nothing like it. And you're not doing it because you're trying to earn your way into heaven. You're doing it because it's what God calls you to do, and then you take it something that you love. We gotta love God's people. We gotta love each other. We gotta be the ones to speak peacefully, showing humility. Don't let anybody knock you off your skin. Don't get angry because of whatever's going on in the world. Do what God calls you to do in love. Titus 3:9, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, striving about the law, but they are unprofitable and useless. How do you know when a dispute, a discussion, an argument, or a fight becomes foolish when God is in these things? Even the interaction and stuff tends to reflect God's love and trust, God's love and truth. But he isn't in it. It's just plain nasty. And we've seen a lot of nasty over the course of these last months as politicians are running for office. A whole lot of nasty. That is our word for this morning. Before we go forward in our prayer for today, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, whose family I ask you to please keep in your prayers. Please keep them in your prayers. Today is the funeral of her cousin, Mother Rita's nephew, and Mother Blue's son, Mother Valerie's nephew. So please, please keep them in your prayers today. As they go through. But we know that the joy that we can feel in our heart is to know that after from this earthly vessel, this body, this shell, our spirit is in the presence of the Lord. So we know that there is in the presence of God, and we thank God for it. And we ask for peace for his family. I haven't got my word this morning yet from Sister Carolyn, because we are an hour earlier than normal. So I will have Sister Carolyn's word on tomorrow for you. We should be back at our regular time. If not, if you tone in and you don't have anything at 7, just go to Blog Talk Radio because it means that I have already done it at 6. You want to check in at 6, check in at 6. And if there's no show, you know I'll be at 7. So please come and join me. I am grateful for all of you. Thank you very much. And a prayer before we leave this morning. Until I do. And it comes from the 66th Psalm, verse 19. Certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. God, my shield, you keep me secure in the safety of your arms. I won't be afraid because you are with me. Your faithful love covers me in my present and momentary trouble. I know that you hear me. You won't ignore me or let me waste away. Even as I cry out for you, I realize that I am already inside of your embrace. There is nothing that can separate me from you. You will answer me. I am strengthened with the support of your arms holding me. I am fully covered from head to toe with the kindness of your mercy that has called me your own. I bear your signature. No one can erase it. It is written into my DNA. I am so incredibly thankful for you that I am found in you. May I remain firmly fastened to you all the days of my life. And I say, even into eternity. And I pray this prayer, Lord, thanking you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and am glad in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. And our question for today is, when was the last time God answered one of your prayers? And I can tell you, when he does it in a miraculous way. Those that have heard my testimony know that I needed some money, but to get a chimney repaired and a brick mason to do it, and it was a lot. I had an issue with a water heater. All these things all happened at one time. cleaned the water heater. And the water started running warm. No problem. And God sent the money to me. I got a phone call that I had been put on someone's heart. And God told him to give me this amount of money. And it was everything I needed. Everything I needed. Including my tithes. God did it. So I tell you, don't shortchange God. Give God what is due God and watch God work in your life. And I tell you, He answers prayer. That's all I have this morning, family. I thank you for getting up early in the morning and listening in today. I pray God's prayer of love over you. And I pray may the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent once in each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that God loves you and so do I. There's nothing you can do about it. But love God and love everyone in your life because God is always God. And he loves it. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap because I got to do what? I got to be carpool mom. And I'm getting ready to take my baby to school. Love you all. Have a great day.